You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome to what's going to be a very busy night in the political cesspool. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday, June 15th, 1 week from my birthday. A week from tonight, on Saturday, June 22nd, yours truly will turn 33 years old, and we're planning a party. We're going to party like it's 1980, the year I came in here, and it was a hot summer, I'm told. It was one of the hottest summers in the world. I just made it a little bit hotter with my delivery. And so my wife's getting everything set up. Going to be a big week next week for the Edwards family. Going to be a big night for us tonight because we're going to be putting two shows worth of content into one episode. And Keith Alexander is actually out of town on vacation. I mean, everything's topsy-turvy with the cesspool staff this week. He is in Texas with one of his sons. We love the work that we do on the radio. It's a very big part of our life and our contribution to the world. But first, we're husbands and fathers, and we all have those priorities, and Keith's out with his son. I'll tell you, when Keith gets back here next time, after having 2 weeks off the show, he's going to be like me at my seventh grade dance, the first time I put my arms around a girl. You know, he gets that microphone in hand after a couple of weeks off, because he's here with me every week. You know, he's going to be real hot and bothered. So we're going to have to, it's going to be a barnstorming is what he's going to be doing. So we're going to have to work in two shows in one, because I don't even think the commercials are going to get a word in edgewise after we get Keith back in here after a three-week hiatus. But anyway, I'll be flying solo tonight. Haven't done that in a while. Back when the show first started, you know, we were doing the show five nights a week, Monday through Friday, for 2 hours a night after putting in a full day, a day's work on our day job. And we were rotating people in and out. I was in just about every night, but some nights, you know, we'd have the immortal Bill rolling in, or Keith wasn't quite on the staff yet, but Winston Smith, my original co-founder, Austin Farley, there for a while. So that was busy, and, you know, obviously, you know, you're doing it five nights a week. That's five times the workload we're doing now, and so there was a lot of nights I'd be in there by myself. But I love the time, the one-on-one time, the intimate time with the audience. And, you know, as the show continued to cultivate, I surrounded myself with talent. I mean, true talent. I mean, we all know what my talent is. It's just that I'm so damn good-looking. But I actually am smart enough to know to surround myself with people like Bill Rowland, God bless his soul, and Keith Alexander. I mean, who can keep up with those guys? I mean, not many of us can. I certainly can. I don't have that kind of mind. But I did have the vision to get this show started, to you know, nurture it from germination through the sprouting phase, and now we've just blossomed, and 9 years later, we've done so much. And, you know, it's all because of you, ladies and gentlemen. That's one thing we never lose sight of. And I might have a little bit of talent. I mean, just a little bit. But I know a good thing when we've got it. I surround myself with great people: Keith Alexander, Eddie Miller, Winston Smith, other people that have worked on the show over the course of its run. But the audience is what it's all about. And, of course, glory be to God for keeping us on here for 9 years. Got a lot of mail in. Like I said, it's going to be a busy show. But going to read just a couple of emails that have come in. This one from London, England. You know, people are responding to our second quarter fundraising drive, which kicked off a couple of weeks ago. We'll end on June 30th, so don't forget to take advantage of those incentives, friends, because we'll be kicking back a percentage of that to Liberty News Radio Network and spreading the love a little bit. And, of course, you'll be solidifying our stronghold in the mainstream media here on the AM airwaves, and we can't do it without you. And some people are writing in response to that, in addition to their contributions, are sending in nice notes. This one reads, "Dear James and Company, the political cesspool is a beacon of truth, reason, and sanity. When I break the bank at Monte Carlo, I promise to add zeros to my donations. But until then, I hope this amount helps to keep your light burning." And that's from John in London, an international audience we do have. Thank you, John. Always a pleasure to hear from you. Had this guy's great. His name's Brian. He's in Arkansas. responds to every fundraising drive four times a year. Every time we send something out, he sends something back. And he knew my birthday was coming up. I mentioned my birthday. My birthday is a week from now, and he knew it was coming up. I mean, we have just, you know, we're a family here, and this is how family is. We remember each other's important days and celebrate together. And, you know, when we have hard times, like the passing of Keith's wife last year, and, of course, the passing of Bill Rowland, my God, you know, we all came together. Doesn't make it any – it doesn't lessen the tragedy, but it alleviates – well, it helps to know that you're loved and you care for one another, and you have an audience that cares for you as we care for them. And this guy, Brian in Arkansas, sent in a contribution and a real nice handwritten note. And he actually bought me this great book back from the 1930s on heredity. And it's just great stuff. Thank you, Brian, for that. And for everyone else, by the way, who's responded so far this month. We love you more than we could ever possibly articulate. And as much as I say it, I couldn't possibly say it enough. But one more quick letter here, and we're going to get down to brass tacks, because like I said, we're going to cram two shows into one tonight. This letter comes in from another loyal listener in Florida. He writes, "Dear Mr. Edwards, the Best of Keith Alexander CD is a wonderful incentive. Even though I received some real Southern history from my late grandfather, I have learned some eye-opening facts about Lincoln's War and the untold history of the Civil Rights era listening to your program and Keith Alexander. A compilation of Keith's insights on a CD is a great way for me to share this knowledge with some friends and family. Another idea for you to ponder is what about a video of the famous Keith Alexander Memphis tour I've heard about several times on your show? The way I understand it is that you and Keith have provided historical tours of Memphis that give before and after views of what federal legislation has done to Memphis. I've been envious of your guests who are fortunate enough to experience the tour firsthand. A quality video with music and narration by Keith would be a great way to visually share this important message. As always, you and the family," and he uses the word family, and I think that is exactly appropriate because that's what we are. "You and the family at TPC have my gratitude for the work you do and the great cause of liberty. I hope and pray that my small support can help you continue to work." And John in Florida, it certainly does. I had a John from England and a John from Florida writing in, along with many others this week. God bless you folks. You know, we'd like to open up the show with that because, as we all know, it's all downhill after the first segment. We open up with a little light banter and, you know, a reading of just, you know, a small sampling of the mail that comes in each week. And then we get into the news of the last few days, and that's never good in today's political climate and global climate. It's never good, but we are all in this together. We're the sum of all our parts, one for all for one. What we do is a reflection of the support and benevolence and love and prayers from those of you who are tuned in tonight and have tuned in for the last 9 years. And I'm a better man for it. This show is such an important part of my life. I don't know what I'd do without it. There would certainly be a void there, and I hope that I don't have to find out for a long, long time because, you know, we're working here with Sam Bushman and Liberty News Radio, and we're in this for the long haul. We're in this until we either achieve complete and total victory and we reclaim America's destiny, or until God himself calls us home. We hope to be here doing this for years to come, and we're going to die trying. we do have a good time. I mean, you know, we try to have the best time we possibly can under the circumstances that our people are faced with. And we're going to get after it full force right after this. I'm your host, James Edwards. Buckle up and hold on tight. The political cesspool is coming your way with the vengeance right after these words.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand, and then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. You know, as we've talked about before, I don't know to what extent the political cesspool has played a role in a shift I'm beginning to see and have been seeing over the course of the last couple of years now in political discourse. You know, certainly in 2004, when we first started, we were the only show, the only mainstream media entity that dared talk about taboo issues, the signature issues that we call our own here. But I'm seeing more and more people beginning to stand up and speak out in very public ways. I mean, what WorldNet Daily is doing now and the great Colin Flaherty, I mean, WorldNet Daily is really tackling issues of race and hypocrisy and double standards as we do here. And they're doing it from a very tasteful way, but that's a serious issue that needs a serious debate. Yeah, something above and beyond being shouted down as racist anytime you don't just lavish praise on minorities. And so they're doing it. And I'm seeing a lot more people doing it. I mean, we certainly haven't reached critical mass, but we're going to continue to do it because I think we're providing a leadership role on this. But just a couple of days ago, to give you another example, on the O'Reilly Factor, I saw Tommy Robinson, the leader of the English Defense League, and he made an appearance talking about the growing Islamic threat in Great Britain and the cowardly political reaction to this, to that menace. And I thought, all in all, he was terrific. I want you to listen to his clip now, and then we'll talk a little bit more about it on the flip side.
Back to follow-up segment tonight. 10 days ago, a 25-year-old British soldier murdered in the streets of London. Muslim jihadists and an accomplice killed a man in broad daylight. Then they went in front of a camera to rant about it. Subsequently, 10 other Muslims were arrested in the case. That led to a number of anti-Muslim demonstrations.
This issue is political Islam.
That man you just saw leading the anti-Muslim movement is Tommy Robinson, who heads up the militant English Defense League. I spoke with him a few days ago. Mr. Robinson, why don't you define your group for us and why you became involved in it?
We're a street protest movement, a pressure movement to put pressure on our politicians. We started 4 years ago due to an inability by the government or the police to tackle radical Islam. Our soldiers in Luton were abused on a homecoming parade by militant Islamists, and that was the final straw, basically. In this country, we've watched, and everyone's watched, as our country goes down the pan. All political correctness is ruling it, and quite frankly, Islamism and terrorism, Sharia law, is out of control in Britain.
Now, in Britain, the Muslim population has pretty much doubled in 10 years, 2001-2011. Why is that? Why are so many Muslims coming to Great Britain?
It doubles every 10 years. It's not just that they're coming here, it's the average birth rate. A Muslim male in this country is having 5.6 children. A non-Muslim male is having 1.3. Now, that wouldn't be so much of a problem if they were integrating or assimilating in any way. But they're not. And quite frankly, if we bury our heads in the sand, we are sleepwalking into an oblivion in this country.
What does the government want to do with the Muslim population in Great Britain? What's their goal?
Well, it seems like their goal, it seems like they're terrified of them and they pander to them. David Cameron at present, he's like the boy that's been bullied and he's trying to make friends with the bully because he's too scared to stand up to him. They're constantly pandering to Islam and they're constantly worried about what the Islamic community will do and how they will react to anything. And they're always fearful of offending Muslims, whereas in reality, the British public are offended on a daily basis.
Okay, but Cameron
and all we're hearing
says
at the moment is,
Cameron says, quote, it's not enough to target and go after violent extremists after they become violent. We have to drain the swamp in which they inhabit. It looks like the prime minister is getting tough on them. No?
No, it's not. No, not at all. Every prime minister said that. Tony Blair, Gordon Brown. When you look at what they say in reality to what they actually do, actions speak a lot louder than words. We're scared. We're in the trenches here. We're on the front line trying to fight for Christianity, fight for our children's future, fight for our culture, and fight for our country's identity, which is completely under attack.
I lived in London for a year, and I don't understand why you say the prime minister and the powers that be in the parliament are afraid of the Muslims. What are they afraid of? If certain Muslim groups are causing trouble, as you assert they are, it would think that the English people would want to crack down. Why would the government be afraid of that?
Well, to be honest, when you look deep-rooted, I'd say they're afraid of them because of the money they've got in this country. I believe they own 48% of our stock market. Every port in this country is owned by Saudi Arabia. Our main shopping centres, our football clubs. They've got our government like that. And they may have bought our government, but they won't buy the people. And as we say, fear is paralysing. They are scared. And our political elite and our political leaders are paralysed with fear for saying anything.
It's hard to believe that they would be paralysed with fear, though. I mean, if you've got a violent group, and look, we have the same problem to a much lesser extent in America. If you've got some, the FBI watches those people here. And if they step out of line, they get smacked here. And nobody in America objects to that unless they're loons. But in your country, what you're asserting is that the establishment is afraid of these people and therefore doesn't move against them.
They're terrified of them. They're terrified of them. They have done nothing. This group and Jem Chowdhury, it has radicalised so many Muslims. 30% of the Muslims in prison are ex-members of this group, Al Mujahideen. Our government have done nothing to stop them. Our government can't even identify the problem. They can't even identify the enemy. Our government stood on TV earlier today, David Cameron, and said that he wants to combat groups like the English Defence League demonising Islam. All we do is speak facts and truth. We don't hate Muslims. I believe a lot of these Muslims are the first victims of Sharia and Islam. But the fact is, Islam is not a religion of peace. It never has been. It never will be.
Okay, but when you say that, when you say you want to protect Great Britain as a Christian nation, which you said earlier in this interview, then you come across as somebody who does have an agenda, an anti-Muslim agenda, because of religious reasons. And you well know, Mr. Robinson, that you've been called a fascist, a racist, and your group has been described by the British press as that.
Yeah, we're described as far right. We have a Sikh division, a Hindu division, a Jewish division. We even have a lesbian and gay division. That weak argument by calling us hooligans or racist or fascist is just the easiest way to stifle the debate, because then they don't actually have to address the points we're bringing up. But what's happening right now in this country, we're gaining so much support from so many different people that they're going to have to address these points. Now, Lee Rigby's death will be the death that has changed this nation.
All right, Mr. Robinson, we appreciate you coming on. Thanks again.
All right, folks, so overall, I give that performance an A-. The only issue I would take with Tommy Robinson is that, you know, he's trying to have this big tent coalition, and I just don't think that's going to work in the long run. I think it needs to be an homogenous group of Christian Britons. But all in all, I mean, look at what he's saying in that five-minute clip on the O'Reilly Factor. Speaking out against political correctness, certainly as it applies to the Muslim swamping of the United Kingdom, speaking out against their birth rate versus that of his own people, talking about action, speaking louder than words. His group is fighting for Christianity, culture, the future of their children. These were his words, as you just heard. He made, of course, standing against violence, as we always make a point to, emphasize, obviously. But this was the most, I think, encouraging thing about it all, though. Bill O'Reilly brought up, of course, that he is being called an extremist, a racist, a Nazi, a fascist for trying to defend the cultural heritage of the United Kingdom. And he said, what did he say? Something I've been saying since day one. Well, they call me these words because it's, quote, the easiest way to stifle debate, end quote. You know, that is still few and far between. 99 times out of 100, when they lob those incendiary terms, racist, fascist, bigot, extremist, at somebody, the knee-jerk reaction, almost without exception, is to crunch and cower and apologize. And he didn't. He says, you know, well, they call us that because it's the easiest way to stifle debate. And he stayed on point and he stayed on target. I give him 95 out of 100. Great performance. More people are starting to speak out. And we've been on the front lines doing it for 9 years, and we're finally starting to see signs of the momentum beginning to build, not just here, but around the world, too. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The COCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy, which opposes globalism and one world government. The COCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Like I said, busy show tonight, so we're going to start booking it here. TMZ, and we put this on the website earlier this week, and it got a pretty strong reaction from the audience. TMZ, which is, of course, a nationally syndicated, I guess it's a celebrity gossip show hosted by Harvey Levin. It produced this segment and then decided it was too controversial to air on the show. You'll be able to hear it. You won't be able to see the visual, of course, but you'll be able to hear it and you'll know what's going on. The segment was referenced in an episode in May. One of the co-hosts called it the funniest, truest piece we ever did. The main host replied that there would be blacklash, quote unquote, if the segment was ever aired on TV. Although fans clamored to see it, and TMZ released the video online. Listen to it, and then we'll talk about it.
And now, the first shot of Charlize Theron's brand new son, Jackson. Yes, Charlize adopted the child back in March, and she finally unveiled him at LAX yesterday. Isn't he just the cutest accessory you've ever seen?
She adopted him from South Africa.
It doesn't matter, as long as he's black. Because black babies are all the rage. Lots of stars have them. And now you can too. Yes, it's Black Baby from Third World Country. Black Baby's the perfect way to get attention, while simultaneously wiping out any white man's guilt you may have. Want to look like a world hero? Try Black Baby! Embroiled in controversy? How about Black Baby? Aging pop star? Black Baby. Bring them to magazine photo shoots, airports, or a pretentious vacation in the Galapagos Islands. Even Will Smith has two! What's that? You don't have time or desire to care for a child? Well, don't worry, because your full-time nanny does. Use them as much or as little as you want. Black Baby. Collect them all. They are...
All right, so without question, we know TMZ is definitely not on our side, but... Blind Hawk finds the acorn every now and then, and there you have it. I mean, that was a great piece. It was satire, and it was funny, but it was absolutely true. Sam Bushman and I had a pretty good conversation before we went on the air tonight about that particular clip. And, you know, on principle, there is absolutely nothing wrong with adopting a baby of another race. I would always encourage people to begin their charity at home first, but I mean, I would say it's not a sin. It's not something, you know, that I would go out and do, obviously, but there's nothing necessarily wrong or evil about it. I mean, it goes without saying, but you know, what's going on there in Hollywood is that, I mean, do you really think that these narcissistic celebrities are doing it, you know, out of love in their heart? I mean, no, they're doing it to be trendy. They're doing it so they can, you know, get out of race free card. And, you know, Sam and I were talking about it. I mean, to live with these, you know, anti-Christian Hollywood weirdos, you know, is it really doing that baby a service? I mean, even Africa is probably more Christianized than Hollywood in this day and age. So, you know, they're going to live in the lap of luxury, these black kids being raised by their celebrity moms, nannies, and then what? You know, so I don't know. But it's definitely a problem. And... to see TMZ, I mean, you know, we were talking a moment ago about more and more people beginning to sound like the political cesspool, or you're beginning to hear, your ears are perking up from time to time about a story you hear, and you say, man, that sounds like something I would hear on TPC, and then, you know, you find it in the strangest of places. Even on TMZ, I mean, that's exactly how we would have covered the story if we were putting together the segment ourselves. Moving on now. The Bible, we put up a story about this too this week. The Bible has become the best-selling book in Norway. So 2,000 plus years after its writing, still a bestseller. And, it, you know, Norway is a very secularized country now. despite its you know, Vikings past, and the Vikings, of course, became Christians for the most part, and you know, they built those beautiful stave wooden stave churches all over Scandinavia. But I believe the amount of church attending Norwegians is less than 10%. But they say that a part of that is, you know, Norwegians internalize a lot of their religion, and that they do it, you know, they ponder it at home rather than going out and going to services. But nevertheless, the Bible is the new best-selling book in Norway, overtaking 50 Shades of Grey, the erotic, quote-unquote, romance novel. So I don't know if that's a good story or not, but the sudden interest in God's Word has catapulted the good book over 50 Shades of Grey. Speaking of, we'll stay on topic for just a moment. This guy, and I didn't know who he was before I put the story up this week, but a Super Bowl champion, Matt Burke, who was on the Baltimore Ravens football team in the NFL last season when they won the Super Bowl over San Francisco. He earned my respect in a big way for taking a principled stand in these dark and wicked days. He was invited to, of course, the whole team was, being a champion of one of the four major sports, NHL, NBA, MLB, and NFL. He was invited as a winner to attend the White House, to come to the White House and meet Obama. And he snubbed the invitation and did not want to meet Obama over matters of faith. And here's the story. Here's what it reads. Former Baltimore Ravens center Matt Burke refused an invitation to the White House this week out of consideration for his pro-life principles. I'd say that I have a great respect for the office of the presidency, not necessarily the president himself, although he didn't say that, Burke told Minnesota's KFAN AM on Thursday. But about 5 or 6 weeks ago, our president made a comment in a speech, and he said, "God bless Planned Parenthood." God bless Planned Parenthood? This Matt Burke, the Super Bowl winner, said his opposition to Planned Parenthood made it impossible for him to meet with the president. Planned Parenthood performs about 330,000 abortions a year. I'm Catholic, I'm active in the pro-life movement, and I just felt like I couldn't deal with that. I couldn't endorse that in any way. For God to bless a place where they're ending 330,000 lives a year, I just couldn't choose to attend. This isn't the first time in recent months either, folks, that a pro-athlete has snubbed an invitation to the White House over political disagreements with Obama. Last year, Boston Bruins goalie Tim Thomas said he chose not to attend a ceremony honoring the Bruins' 2011 Stanley Cup victory because he believes the federal government has grown out of control. So, you know, you don't see it often. You don't see it often, but from time to time, you will find a pro athlete that does something you can agree with. And these are two great cases. I mean, you know, first of all, I got to get back to that completely. You know, God bless Planned Parenthood. I mean, God bless a place where they're murdering over 250,000 people a year in this country alone. Yeah, that's a good one, Barack. But Matt Burke had the right take on it. This goalie for the Bruins had a good take on it. And it's refreshing to know that some professional athletes can still actually think for themselves instead of simply echoing the politically correct drivel that most celebrities do. I mean, if you hear any celebrity or athlete speaking, again, 99 times out of 100, it's just going to be the same garbage, you know, that the media has sent for them to recite. But you have free-thinking people here. And by the way, I think the best part about that story about Matt Burke was his family. I mean, you know, you got this beautiful Christian family. I think he had five kids. None of them were adopted from a third world country. All, you know, they're biological children, and just a beautiful family. Everything one could aspire to be. Beautiful wife, five beautiful redheaded, you know, blue-eyed kids, and you know, that's just awesome. Great story, uplifting story. We don't have a lot of them here on the cesspool, but that was one of them. Pretty interesting story here too. If I can find it, I got a lot here in my notes. This was sent in to us by a female listener who actually had sent it in for Keith Alexander to talk about. Keith's not here tonight, so we'll mention it real quick, and then we'll get back to it. when Keith is back with us. A female listener in Missouri wrote in last week and told me about a story she'd heard on National Public Radio, no less. And she said when she was listening to the story, it nearly made her drive off the road and stop the car. She couldn't believe what she was hearing on NPR of all places. I mean, this again, folks, just another example of you're starting to hear common sense is breaking through, certainly inadvertently and mistakenly on NPR, but it did nevertheless. She said what she heard was so amazing, she nearly pulled the car over. It said that the NPR hosts were saying that the heyday for black entertainment venues in the South took place during segregation, that after integration, black entertainment had become more perverted, subverted. This is what the story reads. Saturday night on Broadway in Macon, Georgia in 1954, you'd have a decision to make because down the corner at the Five Spot might be Ray Charles. Across the street at the Cotton Club would be Little Richard. And down the highway at another place would be James Brown. And they just said that the so-called triumph of integration, with it came the dismantling of the thriving entertainment corridors. More on that. I'll make a point about that that makes sense for this show when we come back. Stay tuned.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. As I mentioned before the break, we're going to have Keith Alexander sink his teeth into this when he's back in the studio with us next time. Because this was sent in to us by a very dear listener in Missouri, somebody who's been listening to this show for a long, long time. I first met her, I guess, I might have first met her before the show even started. So she's definitely been listening since the inception in 04. But she sent it in, so we want to cover it. But I was just going to take a pass at it, and then we'll let Keith give it a full treatment. But basically, NPR was saying that black entertainment was better before integration. And, I'm glad they said, normally that wouldn't be something that I cared about one way or the other, because it's just not where, my focal point is. But I'm glad NPR said it, because it would have certainly been racist for me to have made mention of the fact. And again, while it's certainly not a focal point of the political cesspools, even we have pointed out the undeniable decline of so-called black culture since the 1950s. Let's face it. I like and can relate more to, white music, but there was some great black music back in the 50s and 60s. I mean, I bought some CDs from some of the Motown groups, the Temptations and the Four Tops and Mel Carter. A lot of good, even Sam Cooke. There was a lot of good, I'm not saying I agree with them politically, don't get me wrong, but just as far as the music goes, it was, like all the music of that day and age. It was about boys and girls. It was about relationships. It was upbeat and uplifting, and it talked about real things. It's not like the music today where it's talking about doing drugs or killing your mother or whatever they're rapping about out there. So certainly, I don't know about black entertainment venues, but black music, as white music has as well, for that matter, has certainly declined undeniably since the 50s. And a lot of that is, of course, due to the Zionist control of the media, their absolute stranglehold in Hollywood and with music. And people say, well, of course, that's anti-Semitic of you to say, James. Well, it's not. I don't have a problem with Jews being Jews. I don't have a problem. I certainly don't hate Jews. I don't hate anybody. But what I have a problem with is that they do have a near total death grip on entertainment, and what they're putting out is filth. So, I'm going to identify them as who they are, and I'm going to oppose what they're doing. I mean, isn't that what America's supposed to be about? You have the right to agree or disagree with people. And so, I take issue with some of the things that they do with their vast power and influence, and I call them out on it, but I don't hate them. I'm just going to oppose them, and I'm going to speak out about it. But of course, in today's ridiculous political climate, you are an anti-Semite if you disagree with the Jew. You are a racist if you disagree with the black, and that's just not the way I see it. Hate no one. I love everyone. I don't love anyone as much as I love my own family, but I love everybody. Don't hate anyone. But I have the right to stand up and speak out about these issues. And, God knows I'm not afraid of being called the R word or any of the other things that they have so unaffectionately called me over the 9 years of my radio career. But, we're going to call a spade here in the political cesspool. Now, I got another one for you. Another quick story. Where does a society go after allowing something as disgusting and immoral as sodomite marriage? I mean, you know where we're going, right? You know what's next. People say, bestiality is probably next. But I don't think they really believe it yet. But I do. All right. I mean, certainly, it's been said a thousand times before. Well, our grandfathers would have never believed that there'd be such a thing as the monstrosity of homosexual marriage. But it's as real as the nose on your face now. I mean, it's not legitimate, of course. I mean, it's sanctioned by the government, not by God, which is where we get our supreme authority. But it's out there, and so at least some quasi-legitimate fashion. Yeah, sure. If you can do something as whacked out and sick and perverted as homosexual marriage, why not allow bestiality? And I can tell you that the softening of the mind has already begun. Listen to this story as reported by CNN. I'm going to read it word for word as it was reported by CNN. Hardly, I guess their fringe is, despite the many times they had me on the network, and I'll never forget to thank them for that. CNN was good to me, and CNN had played a big role, I guess, inadvertently in the cultivation of the political cesspool by giving us all that national publicity with all the times I was on there. But we certainly don't agree with them politically. And they might be fringe as far as our political beliefs are concerned, but they definitely reach a lot of people. So it's one of the clearinghouses. We all know what's coming. Bestiality, the marriage of man and beast. And here's what the story reads. Out of CNN, again, word for word. Eccentric fashion designer Karl Lagerfeld has spoken of his desire to end years of singledom and tie the knot with his pet cat. Choupette, a white Siamese cat that has 27,000 Twitter followers, is the creative director of Chanel's most prized possession. There is no marriage yet for human beings and animals. I never thought it would be possible that I would fall in love with this cat, Lagerfeld told CNN Fashion Week Backstage Pass. When he was asked whether there was any truth to the tales about Choupette having three maids and flying by private jet, he said, yes, why not? However, he wasn't concerned that the famous cat would become more famous than him. The beloved pet's maids take down everything the cat does in notebooks so that Lagerfeld can check up on how she's faring while he's away. In 9 months, the maid detailed notes ran to 600 pages. Employing three maids to care for one cat might seem ridiculous, but the designer is known for employing staff that other people might deem superfluous. And that was the whole story. That was the entire story. All right, so if you notice, there was one sentence there. Actually, two sentences. One sentence made mention of the fact that this fashion designer, Karl Lagerfeld, has spoken out on his desire to end years of singledom and marry his cat. And then there was a sentence that quoted him saying there's no marriage yet for human beings and animals, but I never thought I'd fall in love with this cat. And then it just goes on to talk about, oh, isn't this funny? His cat has maids. His cat flies by private jet. The maids take down a lot of notes about how the cat's doing so this guy can know how the cat's doing while he can't be there with it. And that's it. That's the whole story. I mean, if you're going to cover a story like this about this guy wanting to marry his cat, the only appropriate response is to scorn and ridicule this freak. All right, but CNN didn't do that. But of course, their goal is to promote this agenda. This is the next stage of our forward progress as far as they're concerned. You know, once we get through ramrodding homosexual marriage down everybody's throats, then this is going to be the next frontier. Folks, the fact that CNN would cover a story like this in a matter-of-fact way without scorn and contempt is evidence that the softening of the mind on this issue is already starting. It's already starting. Before the ink on sodomite marriage has dried in most of the states still, they're already starting to push for the next level. Again, you know, you don't believe me, then why cover this story and then, you know, spend the vast majority of it talking about the treatment this cat gets instead of how sick this fella is? It's coming, folks. You will live, if you're my age, 33, you'll live to see the day that bestiality is the law of the land. And what comes after bestiality? The marriage of men and infants and little boys. You know, that might come first as far as I know. I don't know, but they're all going to come. If you can think about it, if you can think of something in the deepest, darkest, most perverse corners of your mind, it's something that they want to happen. So, I mean, you know, I don't know if I can move away from that story because it's just so sick. How could they cover that? You know, what's so funny is that all of the mainstream press, other than our little niche of it here on the AM and FM dial with Liberty News Radio, I mean, they treat us like the sickos because we say, you know, We don't hate anybody, but we want equal rights for all, special privileges for none. We're proud of our race. We're proud of our culture. We want to preserve it. We want to protect it. We want to stop illegal immigration. We want to advance Christianity. And they say we're the ones with the problems. We're the ones that aren't thinking right. We're the ones that are backwards. But yet they'll cover a story like this. CNN, I mean, this wasn't some fringe blog, some creepy blog in the nether regions of the internet. This was CNN reporting this on television, and that was the text of the report. And, you know, but we've got the problem, and guys like this are just funny, and oh, isn't it cute that his cat gets such treatment, and yeah, why can't he marry his cat? Because, you know, he didn't expect to fall in love. I mean, you know, love is what love is. The heart wants what the heart wants. I mean, oh, people, it is getting bad out there, and that's why you need a political cesspool. All this filth and waste and disease has to go somewhere to get filtered, and we try to do it to the best of our abilities here. But, yeah, I mean, that's just it in a nutshell. According to the mainstream press, I mean, we're the ones that are on the fringe. But this guy, this fashion designer, oh, well, isn't that cute? Hey, Eddie the Bombardier Miller just flew into the studio, and he's going to be on deck with me for hours 2 and 3. Stay tuned. We got a lot more. I don't know if we got anything as wild as that, but we got some more coming up. Stay tuned.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.